We were gonna use the laptop, but technical difficulties, so we're using phone instead.
We have a lot of technical difficulties.
Yeah, we did last time too, actually.
I feel like we're walking technical difficulties.
Yeah, let's just try it. Lean. There we go. So we have our episode 4. Is that what this? Yeah, episode 4 recap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long month of craziness.
Yeah. For this only being our 4th episode, we are up to, what, 300 plus?
Just shy of 330 views.
Yeah. Views, plays, whatever it is on Spotify.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. That was incredibly unexpected.
To say the least, a random Wednesday blow up, as you say.
Yeah. Randomly on Wednesday and yesterday, too. And then, like, overnight, it's like every single time I ask you in the morning for, like, our update.
another 50.
Yeah, it always ends up being, like, in that 50 to 100 range overnight, which kind just blows my mind, you know?
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe it's just, you know, people winding down for the night, you know, going to bed, whatever, you know, doing chores, you know, pop in your headphones, listen to a podcast.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's... we still appreciate it.
Yeah. And we'll probably start live streaming this, you know, every Friday, you know,
yeah.
Just like how we put it up, you know, the actual, you know, audio on Spotify. We're still doing that. We're going to do both, you know, live stream this, you know, us physically here, and then also put up the audio on Spotify.
Yeah, we're going to just keep everybody entertained and
hopefully
YouTube to come to.
Yeah, YouTube, Facebook. I mean, I think we'll start with, what, YouTube Shorts first?
I think so. Kind of just in-game moments. Kind of, hold on, excuse me, can you repeat that? Because people need to hear about this.
Yeah. So we'll probably start small with you know, the YouTube Shorts. You guys tell us what you like, what you dislike, and so on. Facebook, you know, we will probably just use it for, like, updates or, you know, crazy scenarios that happened.
Right.
Like, you know, like mid-session, mid-combat, like, holy shit, you know, Felix, nat 20, Eldritch Blast, you know, he'll, I don't think his damage dice goes up on until 5 or 6. So it's still, you roll a nat 20 on an E-Blast, that's 2d10 plus, I think he's got
that's
16 charisma plus 3, yeah, 2d10 plus 3.
That's a pretty nasty roll.
So, our last session, we had to continue at the Nyx Manor. I know it feels like a lifetime ago, but that's actually where we left off.
Yeah.
If it isn't... oh, shit, that's Eric! Felix is here!
Hi, Eric!
Hey, Eric! So, we had to finish off with the Nyx family. We were still in their manor.
Yep.
Harold freshly killed two of his 3 grandsons.
Yeah,
he killed Kai and they killed Sylvester, leaving Bryn alive. You know, through the course of chatting with them, you know, there were some tense fucking moments. There were
a lot.
Yeah. All that got resolved when group-wide it kind of began the acknowledgement of these guys aren't a threat. Yeah, they're powerful, but they're not out to kill us because they are that homebrew Norvamps that I made the play on Balinor.
Yeah, that's just it. Once we found out, it's like, these guys aren't really out to kill any one. It's like, okay, guard's completely off. Like, hi, how can I help you guys, like, live a better life? Because
exactly.
You guys sound really cool. Mm-hmm. How, like...
yeah, like, they easily, you know, easily it could have gone into a combat direction, which I was, you know, fingers crossed it wasn't.
You, like, and I both. I,
yeah, Harold alone is a fucking handful. But we did manage to, you know, diffuse all of that and, you know, just speak one-on-one in a very partnership almost type way. Pete's curiosity with the Hollowlanders and especially Nancy being there for some of the dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys outing her, just being like, no, she's a part of that shit. It's like, oh. But, you know, how would Harold know?
No, and that's just it. I didn't feel like he would, and even...
yeah.
The genuine surprise where it's like, wait, hold on, so you're telling me you work for her and she completely just played it off like it was nothing. Yeah, I can show you the paperwork, like.
Yeah, she was, and I know we touched on it last week, she was genuinely on like her heels, because what we didn't get to, because, you know, we had that momentary time lapse for 2 minutes of Steve potentially popping that zone of truth.
Yeah.
That, you know, I would much rather, as a DM, have my PCs, you know, have their time to do whatever they're gonna do, which took the time out of Nancy being able to speak about why, how, and so on she was there in the first place. She was Aaron's plus one.
Yeah.
Aaron canceled at last minute, so she had to figure out at last minute, what am I gonna say now that I don't have Aaron by my side?
Right, my plus one isn't here to back me up, so I actually have to play it cool.
Yeah.
And
she was absolutely lying through her teeth the entire time. Nancy, you're paying the ball. Yeah, well, I mean, Felix is the one that sussed her out immediately.
Very quickly, I was impressed.
So in talking, chatting with Harold Moore, you know, a straight up social encounter with him, we outed as much information as we could about the Hololanders, because we ourselves don't know that much about them.
Yeah, it's not like we know everything, and then we were withholding information from him. Mm-hmm. So if he actually felt like we were withholding information from him, it's like, nobody, we don't know that much to begin with ourselves. We're slowly trying to learn, and, you know, every day it seems like we uncover something new where it's like, but wait, didn't we just figure this out? But, you know, you turn the page and there's always more to read.
Yeah, so chatting with him, that was honestly a lot of fun, because he's just a straight shooter. You know, he's so old, so wise, that it's, if you're honest with me, I'll be honest with you. You know, that's a straight up give and take
that he
wants in that relationship. So after some chat about the Hololanders, you know, we offered them what we could. You know, we know that they're as a faction, as a people, they are the big boys. Mm-hmm. Goliaths, bugbears, minotaurs, and so on. You know, obviously Minotaur was a big deal because Nancy is a Minotaur.
For being, you know, one of those people that is quick to put those pieces together, I'm really amazed that it took me, you know, having Eric kind of be like, but hold on. I'm surprised I didn't put those pieces together earlier.
Oh,
like,
that,
it was all laid out so,
was a Hololander.
Yeah, it was all laid out so beautifully, and like, but Karos was just kind of, I think Karos trusted her to begin with, and that's why
she was your boss. She came off as an ally.
Right, and I think that's why, you know, she kind of played me, but Eric kind of having that
sixth sense. Spidey sense.
That's the good word for it.
Yeah.
I was trying to find a word for it. He caught on and he saw
through it. Oh my god, and that fucking response, I texted him about it. And he was like,
I fucking knew it.
Yeah, I was like, I fucking knew she was evil. It was like, dude, like, seriously, like, take a bow.
He says, trust the bunny, we might have to.
Truthfully, yeah. So after resolving, you know, whatever we could with the information that we could provide him about the Hololanders, we kind of moved on to apparently a big deal to Harold, and he's been brought up a lot now as the goddamn Muffin Man.
I still can't believe that name.
Yeah, a lot of conversation revolved around the Muffin Man, revolved around the factory, which is you know, that next story arc that we're about to delve into after camping. Is, you know, the groundwork has already been laid for the factory. We know it's like a network of hideouts-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't completely, you know, dug up as much information as we possibly could. But so far, you know, it's not just like a central dungeon. It's not like, you know, a wild mage's tower or anything like that. It's a network of places. You know, it's a area of land that the Muffin Man calls the factory. We know it was used as, like, hazardous waste site, for lack of a better term. A lot of Chernobyl vibes there. And then it was used as medical waste. So we're talking a lot of abominations, a lot of Simic-type vibes from Ravnica. And that's when Harold kind of piqued his interest in us about the Muffin Man. Mm-hmm. Being, if you can provide genuine proof, not like how Aaron provided proof of Zedarius's death, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys can you know, show me his fucking head. You can take a peek into my personal armory. Which, coming from a centuries old vampire, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's saying something.
Yeah, like, he's not like a dragon who has like this massive hoard of, you know, platinum, gold, rare, uncommons, you know, whatever rarities you want to use item wise. Just those words coming out of his mouth, my personal armory, that kind of had everybody's attention right then and there, because it's, you know, what fucking goodies do you have stashed away?
Right, even if it's not money, it's for Mercy, it's what books, what knowledge do you have? For Felix, it could be potentially, you know, anything. It's less about the gold, I feel like, at that point, and it's...
Yeah.
What century-old thing do you have that I won't be able to find anywhere else and is more valuable than 1,000 platinum?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not necessarily talking, like, relics from our first campaign from Hailmere. I'm talking very likely item cards. You know, I have that giant box of, you know, magical item cards. Like, straight up, there's probably, very likely, knowing Harold, a ton of rares in there. Probably... two of everything for every class.
You think so?
I mean, realistically, you think about how many people have tried to kill him, because he's not the one going out looking for the kills. We know that. He's a Nor vamp, you know, the playoff of Balinor, that he's a hunter.
Right, if anything, he's sitting at his house and it's like, God damn it, another fucking rogue?
Yeah, another group of vamp hunters in here? Great.
Let's take care of them.
Yeah, and... then he has to worry about further on with evidence, bodies. You know, I don't want to be viewed as the monster that everybody views me as. So all those people that have plundered, delved, and broken into his house, that's another plus one dagger. That's another plus one set of studded leather armor. Like, yeah, that's going to be a treat when he just, like, I imagine, like, those giant, almost like bank vaults that have, like, that spinny thing on it. Yeah, and him just like opening and just boom,
shing.
Yeah, sparkle. Yeah, exactly. Like the proper display, you know, probably some shit like glass cases and stuff.
I definitely see that just with how refined he is. Yeah. It's not just gonna be in a giant pile. Like,
no.
Yeah, it's over there.
Yeah, it's gonna be like his own personal display pieces, basically.
Museum quality.
Yeah,
probably.
And you know, I don't want to. I know he gives off, just by that description, dragon vibes. He's not a fucking secret dragon. We all know that. He's just a full-on vamp.
That would be a very interesting twist.
Which I don't even know, like, from a rules standpoint, how you would even swing that. But he does give off the draconic vibes of, I have a stash. There probably isn't much in terms of platinum, gold, silver, and so on, but I've accumulate a lot of goodies in my time.
From about 200 years of stuff.
Yeah exactly. What do we got in chat? Oh, let me add him. Love Harold. Good.
Harold is good.
Which we did have a couple of more very interesting things happen in the manor before we left, which leading up to finishing the conversation about the Muffin Man and about the factory, Mercy very nicely... I don't want to say committed, but she did technically commit a crime with taking the lantern out of the basement. But she did show it and it was like, dude, straight up, I know you're a straight shooter. I fucking stole this. I took it. I'm sorry. Here it is.
Right. I'm returning it to you to either scold me and like take it, or like if you... don't have a purpose for it, like, it was calling me, may I take it off your hands?
Yeah.
Like, it was just coming down to, again, talking to him.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not like he had an ill opinion of Mercy.
No,
he was
just
kind of
like,
on the fence with her, but then it was doing that. That is, like, the perfect example, the perfect display of what he wanted.
And it's also, you know, plays into Mercy with kind of how she's that... she knows better, but kind of just doesn't really care. So Mercy just being kind of like, yeah, I took this. You can do what you will, but like, I still really want it.
Yeah. And it was actually thanks to Felix that we figured out exactly what this lantern was, which I got to have a lot of fun with, because specifically, I believe it's in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. I believe it is. If it's not, it's at least in Unearthed Arcana, as I took a lot of inspiration from the Warlock Pact for the Genie. Because what you can do is roll a d6 and basically choose the vessel that the genie is within. And that's exactly what I did. And I got oil lamp. Yeah. So I decided right then and there that's what Zedarius
was stored in.
Yeah, that him also being Mercy's father. That the big hint, the big clue as to who is in here. Who is it calling to? Like, what is the big fucking deal? Is I basically decorated it. I made it a bit ornate, and I put what was essentially. And I think from like a visual standpoint, what they would look like is almost like those little like flashlight key charm things that you put on a key ring. That they were like those metallic cylinders that had all the arcane etches and all the arcane runes around them, and that was basically just to jumble up the letters that were on it. So if somebody could figure it out, hopefully they won't, because it spells a very specific word.
Mercy.
You know, it was, I have a plan B. You know, as a genie, he's an intelligent guy.
Yeah.
He's older. He's been around the block multiple times. He's going to have a, if the right person finds this, they'll know what to do. And it was actually you that fucking figured out the puzzle, because I just jumbled up the letters and then you were like, that fucking spells mercy.
Right, like, that's just, it's not bad, but it's a common puzzle for you. Where it's just like a, you know, random jumbled word, but it's like, it's a simple puzzle that once the players accomplish it, it makes them still feel good, even though they took five letters and rearranged it.
Yeah, and that, like, domino effect of light bulbs going off across the table of like, oh my god, it does spell mercy.
Yeah. Wait, we started with me and went all the way back to Jen, where she's like, oh, I'm gonna spell it out.
Yeah.
Like, do it, girl.
Yeah, and you know, and it obviously, of course, like, yeah, it was meant to be like a brain teaser, but it wasn't meant to be like a roadblock, like, we have to figure this out now.
Yeah.
You know? You guys kind of kept it and just, like, taken a look at it, like, one in every three sessions and, like, you know, maybe rolled some sort of, like, investigate or arcana check on it to, you know, maybe get another letter in the right spot or something. It was, like, my backup plan. But you were on it so quick, it was like, okay, they know.
Well, 5 minutes and they already figured it out. Let's go.
So, and, you know, there was not a lot, but some tweaks, some edits homebrew-wise to make Zedarius. I believe, from an alignment standpoint, he's supposed to be neutral evil, which I was like, ugh. Like, yeah, from a roleplay standpoint, that can be a lot of fun. I completely did it, but this is a PC's parent.
Right, like...
Yeah.
It sounds fun, but not for this current situation.
It's a whole new world? Yeah, he did actually make an Aladdin reference, too.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So after arranging the cylinders, for lack of a better term, getting the letters the way that they should spell out mercy, out came not only Zedarius, but also a female Triton, wearing some black leathers, a couple of daggers, a hood, very rogue, very assassin looking. Out came Juniper Tidebringer.
Yeah, I was not expecting to have a sister because...
Yeah, that Tidebringer last name was the big, like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because there's only two other people I know with that last name, so it's like,
Thaddeus and Aaron himself.
Right.
Yeah, so she immediately jumped your shit because she has one goal in life. I'm looking for a male Triton that kind of potentially looks like me. Hey, there you are. So she assumed that you were Aaron. You know, it was never meant like, let's roll initiative hostility. It was, she doesn't know better.
Right, it's that...
She saw you. Okay, let's fucking go.
It's that typical anime trope of like...
Blah, blah.
Girl sees, or you know, person sees whoever, an immediate assumption attack.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know who you are, but all I know is you need to die because you look like somebody and that person did me wrong. You may or may not be that person.
Oh, yeah, but you know, we still have a bit more to uncover about why, how, all of that stuff of her being in there, but we are aware that there were some pretty strong hints towards it having something to do with Aaron and with his warlock pact, because we just learned about that.
Yeah, we did.
That he, like many warlocks, not very fae-like, this is much more devilish type vibes. You're an all-powerful entity. You have somebody that has everything to lose come up to you. Hey, I want more power. Okay, sure. I'll give you some more power. You know, as your patron, I can do that. But you gotta give me something in return. Then you're like, with Meepo, we had a, you know, Meepo and Malice, they had a really good working relationship. Felix and Sam, they're pretty cool with each other.
Yeah.
So I wanted to finally get to that dark end, that evil end of Warlock Pax. And his end of the bargain was give me your firstborn.
Yeah.
That's why you never knew Juniper ever existed.
Because she was gone before.
Yeah, Thaddeus never knew she existed because how would he know? He's never met her anyways. Baby pops out. Hey, remember that one time?
Right.
Remember
right,
that? Yeah, that's
like,
mine now.
That's one of those things where I doubt it was, you know, Juniper was 6 and then it's like, mm-hmm. Oh man, I really want some power. And then, you know, it just happened to be the firstborn. No, like, he signed up for this years before she
yeah.
was a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, Warlock patron is there as soon as you said, like, baby's out, it's all right. That's my baby now. You
yep.
don't even get the pleasure of saying
mm-hmm.
hello.
Yep.
We're gone.
Yep.
Peace.
Which, you know, paints a giant question mark of who the fuck is evil enough to do that? That you don't even get to hold your daughter.
Right.
She's
popping and gone.
Yeah. that had me thinking of something, but. You know, as it is with D&D,
so
train of thought gets derailed.
Yeah.
So yeah, she jumped Karos's shit. Like, no, I'm not Aaron. Obviously, you know, the Warlock Pact, we have to delve more into because it's that giant question mark of who is Aaron's patron. Like, that's a fucking problem.
Yeah.
But that's also, from a PC standpoint, a potential weakness. Although it's incredibly unlikely to be a warlock patron, you're going to be, you know, borderlining that god, all-powerful kind of border.
Yeah.
If you can kill whatever that is, it would probably make Aaron a lot weaker because he wouldn't have a warlock deal, but then it's like, dude, how powerful does that thing have to be?
You against the patron.
Yeah.
Right. Like, do you go against the patron's bitch or the patron?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather take the patron's bitch.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes down to it, would you rather fight Meepo or Malice?
Oh, Meepo. We saw the hand of Malice when he used it that one time and just jelly.
Yeah, like...
Which is from Campaign 1, Inhaler.
That's just, you know, that's a lot of the times, you know. Would you rather fight Val or Ella? You know, you always want to fight the underling. Like, why go for the big dog when I can just handle the...
Yeah, Rottweiler, Chihuahua.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so we... concluded our role play with Harold right around that point. Edward, Zedarius and Mercy had a pretty long heart-to-heart away from the group and everything of, hey, I didn't abandon you, you know, this isn't what it all seems. Hey guys, what's up? Green's from Brazil, that's awesome. What do you think about the John Cena return? Okay, this is for D&D, but John Cena, yeah, I'm a big WWE fan. Kind of saw it coming, not going to lie. you know, just being a purveyor of cage side seats and stuff, you know, it's a very common website for wrestling rumors. There was a lot of rumors revolving around SummerSlam. John Cena versus Roman Reigns for... John Cena's tied with Ric Flair for, like, most ever world titles. So it's likely going to be John Cena... beating Roman Reigns at SummerSlam to, you know, be that top dog. Seth Rollins interfered a lot throughout the Money in the Bank match to set up Seth Rollins versus Edge. And then Goldberg this past Monday just came back on Raw, so it'll very likely be Goldberg versus Lashley. If Goldberg wins, I'm going to fucking whip my TV. That dude needs to just fucking go away. I'm sorry for Goldberg fans, but Jesus Christ.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah. So, back to D&D. That was really fun and very convenient that we happen to have a WWE, AEW, Impact, you know, whatever wrestling it is. I like all of it. So, where are we with D&D?
We were finishing up our Herald roleplaying.
Yeah, we finished up the Herald roleplay, you know, Muffin Man, everything was Zedarius.
He's a Goldberg fan.
Oh, sorry, dude. Off
a fan.
Sorry. I mean, if anyone that is a WWE fan that watched Money in the Bank, like, Kevin Owens bumped like a motherfucker. There was that beautiful spot of Ricochet. I'm a big Ricochet fan. He was on top of a ladder. Dude started to tip the ladder. I think it was actually Matt Riddle, of all people. And Ricochet literally did mid-fall. He did a springboard off the top rope, flipped over, yeah, onto the side of the ring and took out like three or four guys.
That's amazing.
Dude, yeah, it was one of the most fucking athletic things I've ever seen. There was such a pop when that happened.
Yeah, that's cool.
And George has gone off the tracks. Yep, yeah. Per usual.
It happens with WWE.
Yeah, and D&D. So, finishing up Harold, Juniper, Zedarius. We did Detour very unexpectedly. Everyone was like, let's just go to Mercy's house.
Okay. Right? We just randomly decided to hang out at Mercy's house for a couple hours.
Yeah, I don't even remember or know why that came up.
I think she was the closest.
Oh, the closest person, yeah, because the Knicks Manor is way north in the Lady Lights District, and Mercy's just over in the 3 o'clock to the east of that.
And we had to go to GameStop,
eh? Yeah, had to go to GameStop, which we haven't even talked about the vile one yet. KFC, yep. KFC, that was a lot of fun. We'll get to KFC. Because it was, like I said, we stopped at Mercy's house first, where there was, I don't want to say that there was tension, but there were a lot of unexpected and interesting interactions with having Edward and Zedarius there, especially on Mercy's end. Looking at Edward, this is who I view as my father. This is the guy that's raised me for the past 20 plus years.
Right.
He taught me how to ride a bike. He changed my diapers. You know, he's responsible for my first words. You know, everything that a parent would do. And it's Edward. So you know Edward was a fucking sweetheart of a father. So having that and Zedarius in the same room at the same time, That was just wild, because like, I didn't even expect that, first of all. I didn't think that we were going to go back to Mercy's house, and I didn't know if you were going to get Zedarius out of the lantern.
Yeah.
How would I know? You know, if I had a crystal ball, a lot of DMs wish they had one so we could plan around your guys' craziness.
This is true.
Yeah. Which, there were some fun moments at Mercy's house. You know, there was Edward Dave Zune, you know, the little six-year-old bugbear, some ice cream, so she was just off the walls.
So happy.
Yeah, but it was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. It's like, dude, you're 6 years old. Like, you should either be, like, already sleeping or at least in bed.
Yeah.
I think we might have pissed off that Goldberg fan. Oh, well.
No, he's still here.
Oh, good. Which, honestly, not a lot of super important stuff went down at Mercy's house. You know, it was just more of like some casual role play, right, battle plan, strategizing for the vile one.
That was the big moment of the night.
Yeah, that was the big highlight of the session, and that's what everyone was kind of, you know, gearing up for. But like Felix/Eric has already alluded to, we had a 15-20 minute long escapade at KFC of all places. And I think it was just because like Karos and Zeke were hungry. I think that's what started all of it. And then you rolled a piss poor perception check. And I was like, yeah, there's a KFC nearby. Oh, Ryan's here.
Oh, that's Ryan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I haven't seen Ryan in years. Yeah.
Goatee.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was like all clean shaven and shit, you know, way back when. Yeah, it's been 3-4 years since I've live streamed anything.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So the KFC escapade, I don't even know where to start. Do you?
No, that was a mess.
Yeah.
And just because we ordered food.
Yeah. You know, it was like I said, it was just a piss poor perception check on Kairos' end. So I just threw out, yeah, there's a KFC nearby. But then you guys just fucking went for it.
As we typically do, we don't mess around when it comes to
fun. You know, this being a modern campaign, Kairos was on fucking top of it. You ordered like the biggest meal. It was like a 20 piece or something.
Yeah, I think I ordered like the 20 piece family meal for myself.
Yeah, and you know, the cashier, you know, the dude working the drive through was just, you know, some like teenage elf. I don't even remember
name. I remember the big thing about it. It was like 5 minutes to close.
That's exactly ordering. What I was getting to. Yeah, he was like, dude, we're closing in 10 minutes. And you were on top of it. Like, dude, I know you're just going to throw all that food out, or you're going to try and get it out like tomorrow morning or something. Just give me the food. It's like that in a modern campaign would totally happen. Like, I could see you, Dom, doing that in real life.
I would, too, because I worked
drive-thrus and shit. Yeah, you know this.
You close in 5 minutes? Can I eat, like, 3 extra pieces? Because I know you're throwing out everything that's not coming out my way right now.
Absolutely. And that's what kind of just triggered the whatever snowball type effect that happened. You ordering that, you know, just this teenage shithead elf mouthing off to you. You delivering it right back.
But right, then, I don't want to deal with this because what I got to deal with in like 20 minutes is so much worse. Just give me my food and let me be on my way.
Yeah. But then, to his surprise, there was another car.
Because there was two.
Yeah, because Felix was actually driving Zeke's truck. I don't remember why, but we had Felix driving Zeke's truck. And I think Mercy was in the truck too.
Yeah, I think everybody else is in the truck.
Yeah, that you were alone in the motorcycle, so like you could put all the food in the sidecar or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking Felix and Zeke roll up. They want like 2 or 3 family meals. Zeke did a fabulous job at KFC. Yes, yes he did. Honestly, like if we needed to like pin down like, you know, MVP of that whole KFC escapade, it would be Zeke.
I think so.
Yeah, because like Carol's got the ball rolling, but then Zeke is the one that like took the reins.
Right, Carol's just didn't want to deal with it, and he knew that he didn't want to deal with it, so it's just like, alright, let's just both cut the shit.
Yep.
Give me what I want, and you can have what you want. Yep. But you don't know that my friends are right behind me, and then that like, becomes a whole nother encounter that, you know, he's already forgotten about me. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, you gotta deal with these fuckers. Mm-hmm. Have fun.
Which they like doubled or tripled your order. Yeah, and the dude just quit. Like, he threw his headset out the drive through and everything.
I'm done.
Like, straight up over the headset and everything. It was just like, I quit. There went the headset. So then
I'm pretty sure it flew past Kairos.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when Zeke, Felix, and all of them pulled up in the truck, Zeke hopped into KFC and I had him roll something. I think it was like, I think I had him roll, like, a survival check, because survival is, like, in my opinion, like, how you gauge cooking, temperatures, food, all that
like
kind of stuff.
Scrounging for food.
Yeah, but, you know, it's modern, so, you know, you don't have to worry about a campfire and all that kind of shit, but you're still cooking, essentially. Wait, so how did the dessert go? I'm a little behind. Oh, the dessert with Harold, it went really great. You know, there were no shots fired, you know, no combat, no anything like that.
Nobody needed to die.
Yeah, the big thing that came out with the dessert with Harold was he, in Harold's opinion, believes the Muffin Man, who is a BBEG in the campaign, is becoming a growing issue, whether it's personal or via population, whatever. Harold has it out for the fucking Muffin Man. But Harold, how he has survived this long is he doesn't go behind enemy lines. He's the type of guy to hire mercenaries to do the work for him.
Right.
Not that he's not willing to get his hands dirty, but it's as soon as he does, he picks a side.
Yeah.
Harold is fucking Switzerland. He's neutral. He's not going to pick a side, which is where you guys come in. Hey, you guys handle the Muffin Man for me, which, you know, it's Harold. He was probably born in the 1600s or 1700s. Bring me his fucking head. So right, when
he's
we
going
do
super old school
yeah,
with
yeah,
it.
So when we do finally delve into the factory, you know, do whatever dungeon crawl action is gonna happen there, hopefully we can conclude the Muffin Man when we conclude the factory, you know, cohesively, you know, do both of them simultaneously at once. Mm-hmm. We chop off the fucking Muffin Man's head, whether it's the killing blow or after he's dead. We
right.
bring it back to Harold, and Harold will just, oh, that's the Muffin Man's head. Great. And he will guide us to his personal armory for us to plunder whatever we like. We all probably, I would imagine, you know, from like a rules standpoint, just so PCs don't get like way overpowered and like
right, there's going to be a certain limit.
Yeah, it's like everyone pick an item each, and then like maybe as a group, like as a adventuring party, I have a few items that are top shelf that all of you could use, you know, similar to like an orb of scrying, a scrying orb. That's something that could
yeah.
be used like group wide, or like Heward's handy haversack, you know, just so we could have something for like carrying capacity.
Right. Not that we, you know, need any like super big things, but it's like,
yeah, like we don't even have a bag of holding.
We really don't need them though.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the joy of today's world,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, so there was nothing that went bad at the Nyx Family Manor or with dessert. There was just that, in my opinion, you know, as the DM sitting there watching you guys do what it is that you do, which is absolute chaos.
Yeah.
I think the most tense moment where shit could have gone sour, I think you'll agree, you could probably take the words out of my mouth, is that zone of truth.
Yeah.
Where it didn't get popped. Skylar didn't actually have it prepared. But, you know, he's a new cleric. You know, yeah, is that a big no-no? Absolutely. You should know what fucking spells you do and don't have prepared. But he is brand new to cleric. He's played cleric like 8 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'll give him a slap on the wrist for saying, I'm going to cast this. Oh, shit. Never mind. I don't cast this. I don't have it prepared. To me, that's just a slap on the wrist because he is so new to cleric.
Right, just
30
next
sessions.
Time look at your
yeah.
sheet a little bit better before you say something.
Yeah.
It's not that you did anything wrong. It's mm-hmm. just before you speak, make sure.
Yeah.
That way you don't look, not that, you know, you looked stupid or anything, but you just, you don't want to look
okay.
unprepared is
yeah.
the word.
Yeah, which, honestly, unprepared is the word because
you
that's what you call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You, like, literally hit the fucking nail on the head by saying unprepared. Yeah, so moving past the KFC escapade, we made our way to GameStop.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Harold did set up the arrangements for us because we started to realize we have a lot of allies in common. He mentioned Liza. Oh, we know Liza.
Right. That was kind of amazing.
Officer Pogo. We know Officer Pogo.
You know Pogo?
Yeah. Wait, oh man, Pogo. Pogo Bubble Pop. Just his fucking name, I love.
It's one of those names that just brings a smile to your face.
Yeah, and then on top of it, he's a donut dwarf, so, you know, he's kind of got, like, the Santa Claus, like, rosy cheeks.
Sprinkles
and shit.
In his beard.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a sweet guy.
Yeah, and, like, but he honestly did a lot of work getting the party to that point of to GameStop without having bullshit or whatever could happen in between. You know, he had, like, the roads blocked off, and, like, it was very much so like a police escort, just without the car.
Yeah.
That he had a clear avenue directed just for you guys. It's, I have other shit to do. I'm still on the clock. I'm still on duty. This is what I can do for now. I wish I could have done more, but it was more than enough.
Yeah.
In my book. So we did finally arrive at GameStop, where we met with April. Which I know, I think, because, yeah, Jen and you were obviously aware, so I think I kind of got, like, an eyebrow bat or a face palm out of Skylar and Eric when Harold mentioned that her last name was Winchester, that they, like, immediately associated it with Supernatural, which, you know, I'm a big Supernatural fan, you know, rightfully so, but it wasn't based on that at all. It was based on, you know, the firearms on a prior PC that we had that, like, this is completely out of my control. This is something that was already made that I didn't personally make.
Right. You just had to keep rolling with it because
yeah.
two other players already had it in their mind that this is an established character yeah. with an established last name, even though the player character that NPC is related to
yeah.
is gone.
Yeah, exactly.
That NPC still works at GameStop, and
yeah.
we were expecting to see her on release night. So
yeah.
it's like we kind of had to see her.
Yeah, and you know, it wouldn't make any fucking sense that like all of a sudden, like what, 6 days later, she has a new last name and stuff. Like, no. You know, just
right.
just keep the lore right, keep it flowing, even if it sounds stupid, you know, as a DM, that's just kind of something that you do. If the lore is there and the lore is right, stick to the rules, easy does it. Yeah, we are not going to buy followers, thank you, though.
yeah, no.
yeah. So we arrived at GameStop, where even more chaos ensued. Like, prior to the Vile One, there was a little bit of RP, I would say 5 to 10 minutes worth with April. Like, you know, we know he's here. There was kind of like heart skip a beat moment prior, because you rolled something very well, and I think it was you and Zeke both noticed that people weren't like eating peppers or the spicy or the hot food,
mm-hmm.
which is a sign that the Vile One is around. It's a little homebrew thing that I gave him that he has an aura around him that affects muddles, that if he and a muddle are within like 50 feet or so of each other, they feel this compulsion, this need, this crave to, you know, add Tabasco sauce to their shit, add banana peppers to
just
your pizza.
Just capsaicin over and over
yeah.
time.
And you guys didn't see that, so it was like, are we doing the wrong thing, DM? Like, no, not at all. It was Sigil was around, our beautiful, angelic, perfect Sigil that basically, from my rule standpoint, and just to push the Sigil is so pure, he basically canceled out that aura. That they were
everything.
Close enough around to each other that it's like,
Sigil,
you know, that
over.
Good and evil collided, you know, like that fucking like Harry Potter scene with the wands where like they're at a complete
yeah.
And man, you guys had a lot of fun at GameStop. You guys bought like every possible like collector's edition that you could. Zeke.
I'm pretty sure it was all on my credit card.
Yeah, it was. Zeke took like one of the cardboard cutouts of Doom Guy. Now you guys could have probably taken like a Funko Pop or two, because like in the game you can find little chibi versions of the Doom Guy.
Really?
yeah, it's
oh, that's
great.
Awesome.
And then it was kind of like setting the battlefield was like the next phase,
yeah.
which you guys talked with April about, which surrounding GameStop was basically a bunch of old storefronts. Like there was an old furniture shop directly behind it to the left-hand side. So I had like a bunch of like tossed chairs, some old lockers and stuff. I got these like little wood pallets that you can actually like punch out two of the little lengths of wood to make it look like a little lumber pile. Yeah, which, you know, old furniture store, you know, you just say that like, you know, they're like lengths from chairs and tables and shit.
Yeah.
So that was everything that was behind there. Then there were like a couple of food stalls and shit, which I think we even had those when we fought the Garbage Queens, and I had them already built, so it's like just plomp them down. There we go. You know, it's Vegas. There's going to be a lot of little food shops and, like, you know, drive-by
yeah.
shit, people on the streets and so on.
Drunk gamblers walking around downtown.
Yeah, exactly.
All you want a hot dog.
Yeah, the 3 o'clock.
That totally makes sense why it's called the 3 o'clock now.
And then we got to that point of baiting the Vile One out, because we didn't, A, want to fight him in the store.
No.
In case there were muggles there, which there were very few muggles in the first place. My ruling when it came to like the whole like video game sense of things was like when Skyrim first came out, a lot of the Dragonborns wanted to play Skyrim. When the Assassin's Creed games come out, all the rogues want to play Assassin's Creed. That with something like Doom, I had it revolved around all of the Infernal type people, so there were like chain devils and imps and that kind of shit inside. Very few actual muggles were there, but there was that glaring problem of...
We're in a store full of baddies.
Yeah, you're in a store full of baddies, and when the Vile One aka Tom Cruise, is killed, he returns back to his original sentient plant form and becomes
a giant tree.
A massive orange tree. How do you explain overnight a massive orange tree plummeting out of a fucking store? You don't. That's why we took the fight outside.
Yeah.
Which that fight was a fucking doozy, especially for level 3. That felt like
Kairos was hurting by the end of that.
Yeah, that felt like a level 7 to 9 worthy fight. Like, we actually ran out of battle music.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm constantly playing, like, you know, that, like, hard rock. You know, just like
an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Ran out.
Yeah, that YouTube video ended.
We were still fighting. Fittingly enough, Welcome to Hell from Doom.
Yeah,
it was like an hour and 30-minute mix.
Yeah, I think that was even your recommendation, because that's when, like, we were on our break, so, you know, Jen could go pump and, you know, whatever.
Let's throw on some Doom. Let's do it.
Exactly, and, like, it suited the scenario so well. Just hell of a fight.
Yeah.
There honestly wasn't too much brew on my end in it. He was basically just a tweak down fire giant.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's basically what he was, but he did have the smoldering fist attack.
That thing sucked.
Yeah, that was the... I honestly think, yeah, that was like the one and only brew that I did to him. Which it was very similar to like a dragon attack, you know? It only recharges when the DM rolls a 5 or a 6. So, you know, it's not going to happen very many times. I think in the fight it only happened twice, maybe 3 times.
Twice, I think.
Yeah. Which, you know, the brunt of it, that was all my decision, obviously, I created the creature, was to make a lot of it bludgeoning damage, so that way it would be halved for you. Because the argument could go either way. Should it be mostly bludgeoning damage, or should it be mostly fire damage? Because it was a little bit of both. It was 8 bludgeoning and 4 fire. So it could have been 8 fire and 4 bludgeoning. But then Kairos wouldn't have been able to half as much damage as he could every time he got hit by a smoldering fist.
Which I needed, not an advantage, but I was at such a disadvantage when in the fight that I would gladly take any advantage I can get.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, even that buff that Alistair gave to Felix, because this past session that we're recapping right now, the session prior, we went over to his shop.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
he gifted again?
For 12 hours, he had / has resistance to fire damage.
Ah.
Which,
nice,
you know,
nice.
Fire giant, you know, vile one and
very
all that.
Very handy.
Like, yeah. I don't think off the top of my head that he got hit by any smoldering fists.
I don't think so. He stayed back. Right. Very game. Very well, yeah.
Yeah, which he should, you know.
Yeah.
He's a warlock, so first of all, he's not Hexblade, so he doesn't really have a good reason to be in melee.
No, not
at all. And then, second of all, you know, we're finally tomorrow leveling up to level 4, so we took on this fight at level 3. You're a warlock at level 3, you're not going to have +1 anything, you're not going to have, like, nearly as many bells and whistles, eldritch invocations as a high-level warlock like Meepo
was. I was just starting to get in that stuff at, like, level 11.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know
so
it takes
he is a little bit squishy.
Definitely.
And, you know, that's not Eric's fault. That's part of being a warlock that isn't multi-classed.
Early game,
or You know, I think their hit dice is only a D8.
I think so.
That, you know, compare that to Kairos, who's rolling D12. That's a big fucking difference. But all in all, the Vile One fight, it did go pretty well.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
nobody
actually went unconscious, I don't think.
No, there was just the 2 times where I think me and Mercy got knocked prone. But there was no unconscious, there was no...
Yeah, I mean,
I got down to like 3 HP.
Yeah,
but...
and he was on Zeke's ass for a good bit, because Zeke threw a couple of guiding bolts at him, which obviously was radiant damage.
And he
that's catching his attention.
Yeah,
you know, as a giant fiend, you have my attention. You know, here I am being able to half Mercy's greatsword, your fists,
everything.
What the fuck just
that,
hit me?
Yeah.
What was that? Excuse me. Oh, there you are, you little shit. I'm charging at you. You know, he had 45 movement speed. He had every right. fucking giant.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. It's just shocking to hear, like...
Yeah, and I kind of gave him that, like, I think it's, like, a level 5 barbarian unarmored defense kind of thing that you get, like, plus 5 or plus 10 movement speed. I was like, he's not wearing armor in the first place. Sure, why not throw it in just because, you know, he's a giant. He can fucking...
He's got the stride. It's not that he's got the speed. It's
yeah, exactly.
Each step is 10 feet.
Yeah, his dex isn't that high, but he's so fucking tall. It's like you said, the stride, that two of his steps are like 4, 5, 6 bunny hops on Felix's end, for example.
Right, that's like, yeah, yeah. That's insane.
And, you know, comparing that to Zeke, who's just a kobold, he's got 25 movement speed.
Small.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna chase you down, boy. And other than that, the little minor thing that, you know, it didn't really hurt, but it was just kind of, you know, to add a little bit of zest to the challenge of the Vile One, was that he had that fire aura.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, starting your turn within melee of him, it was a constitution saving throw. Originally, if you fail, you take 4 points of fire damage just for being within melee of him, because, you know, he's a fire, like I said, at the end of the day, he's a tweet down fire giant that's also a fiend. He should exude fire, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, you know, when he walks, there should be, like, a trail of fucking flame following uh-huh. behind him. You know, like, that scene in, like, Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the DeLorean taking off, like, that's kind of how, like, I envision his strides.
I do like that visual. That's nice.
Yeah, right? But, yeah, you know, we got our kill. We haven't looted him yet because that was just such a long fight for level 3.
Hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, just over because the fucking music ended. Yep. That we were pushing an hour 45 probably. And an hour 45 for a level 3 fight, that's a big deal.
We were starting to push that in like level 10, so yeah. Seeing that was crazy.
Right, and we will next week have a little bit of like a weird episode. Maybe we invite Felix, maybe we invite Zeke, both of them, one of them, because Karos, Dom, will not be attending the session tomorrow. Dom is busy.
Yes.
Straight up, you know, that simple. So I'm going to be running a one shot because, you know, the Vile One was such a heavily based, you know, story arc around Karos, around all of that. To me, it would just feel kind of wrong to have the continuation of that without Karos there. So I'm just running us through a one-shot. We are all gonna level up. It was, like I said, I used Milestone. That being the end of, you know, that big Vile One, Karos story arc. We're gonna go from 3 to 4. It was, like I said, we're just gonna do a one-shot. I'm not gonna throw out anything that is gonna be happening during it, just in case Felix or Zeke pay attention to either this stream or listen to the podcast mm-hmm. tonight. Because then that'd be like, oh, fuck. Now they know little bits and pieces of what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, no, I'm going to keep my fucking mouth shut. But yeah, we're going to run a one-shot. And, you know, it was like I said, maybe next week we have one or both of them do the episode with us.
Yeah, we'll see what we're feeling. Yeah, talk to them.
Yeah, we do got some, I shouldn't say some, we do have a massive big change coming, heading our way.
Yeah,
I still got a couple of PCs to chat with about it. I would love to throw in chatter to throw a DM at somebody. Those who know what the straw poll is already know what I'm talking about. However, something happened with it.
Yeah,
I can't even explain what it was because it was my very first time posting one. And then it was just like, you know what? I'm gone. Okay. But, you know, we had enough results to be able to gauge our next steps.
Yeah.
Which, that is a very big next step, which we'll save until next week, actually. That could be, like, half of next week's episode.
Half of our talk.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we kept you waiting for
You, yeah, we kept you waiting a week. You know, we only took the pants off. The panties are still on.
Spank, spank.
Oh, Jesus. I really hope that there aren't too many kids that listen to us.
They're like 24 to 32. That's what analytics say, at least.
Okay, good. Because I was about to say, like, what if, like, a 12-year-old is, like, showing mom and dad our stream, our podcast. Like, yeah, these guys are great. They play modern D&D. Listen to this.
Family friendly until that exact point lost all respect.
Oh, man. I really hope that doesn't get clipped either, that all of a sudden there's, like, a gif of Dom just going spank, spank, spank.
Don't do it.
All right, so we will catch up with you guys next week. It was, like I said, we'll probably dedicate half of next episode as to what this big tease is, this big massive change that's coming. We'll do half of the next episode as that, and the other half recapping the one-shot with either Eric or Skylar.
Yes.
Zeke/Felix, and we will catch you guys then. Massive week for Battle Buddies. You know, as we're getting ready to sign off here, I just want to say thank you, because holy shit, it's been like every single day there's like 40 to 60 new plays.
Yeah, and to say thank you for all those plays.
Yeah.
We got our friends at Ray's.
Oh, yeah.
We have been waiting and trying to figure out that.
Yeah, for a week or two now.
Use code BattleBuddies at Ray's and get yourself, I think it's 15%.
15% off.
Yeah, so yeah. Thank you guys.
All lowercase, all one word. You know, buy anything, you know, your entire cart at checkout, just put in code BattleBuddies, all lowercase, all one word, 15% off. You know, Raze energy drinks, they got apparel, they got shirts, they got fucking hats. I definitely want a hat.
Yeah, I gotta get a shirt too.
Yeah, maybe you need to email them. Give us hat. Like, that's it. Just three words, give us hat.
We love you.
Yeah, then, like, all of a sudden, like, the start of August, you just have this massive box outside your door.
It's funny you say that, because I got into their ambassador program, so I am getting a little care package.
Oh, are you?
Soon, yeah.
Yeah.
So, thank you, guys.
Yeah, seriously, thank you so much. Like, at the time of this live stream, of this recording, we're somewhere around, like, 320 plays. And like, that is just so unexpected, because this is our fourth week.
Yeah.
This is our 1 month Battle Buddies anniversary. I should have brought you like roses or something.
Yeah.
I really should have.
We're slacking.
Well, we do have logos and stuff up on everything now. You know, especially on this Twitch, our banner, you can see the full thing.
I gotta add it over on Spotify.
Yeah, you know, on the lower right-hand corner, there's like a character sheet. The left-hand side, there's some dice. Jen, aka Mercy, my wife, she made that for us.
There's some potions. It's very adorable.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's just with the Twitch icon. It can only be a certain size, so I got it just enough that it says Battle Buddies. But the banner itself has the entire image,
right.
So if you're curious as to what that looks like, just look at the banner.
Yeah.
And then we'll catch you guys next week with a one-shot and a big unveil, I guess is what we can call it.
Very big unveil.
Yeah.
That's going to be some news.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. Everyone have a good week.
Thank you again. Battle Buddies out.
Alright, and we gotta stop the stream on my phone yet.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
Oh, right
Bye
there.
Guys.
Bye, guys!